This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
We hope to entertain you, inform you, illuminate you, and make you laugh.
Wow.
And I don't big know promise, Peter, but I think we could pull it off.
And I think a lot of people, there's a lot of big sports issues big. To get to today.
Yeah.
But I feel that our audience who loves this show is most excited for you to hang on the rim of the glorious Titans victory last night, Mike.
Karma.
Well, why is that? I don't understand. Like,
what did you do wrong? You took an underhanded way to try to get his point, and the football got smacked you right in the face.
The only guilty party, Peter, would be Michael for not paying attention. We replayed the sound. I alerted that this might be off the board. Nobody said boo. The only guilty party is Michael for not paying attention.
I'm not guilty. You even gave me a chance yesterday. You know, you pick another game this weekend. I said, no. Let him have it. And you got it, baby. You got it.
But again, I don't...
42-16. You got it.
You're attacking me as if... Peter? Like I did something wrong.
You did something inherently wrong.
I did something underhanded. I didn't do anything underhanded.
I understand, Don, your defense, and you're right. You didn't do anything wrong. We reviewed the tape. But that's not going to affect Michael. So I'm just trying to enjoy... Like last night, I just knew he was enjoying every moment so much. Oh. And I know that Michael loves to come on the air and be classless and hang on the rim, and I just wanted to enjoy it.
Well, total reverie in my house last night.
I got the pick wrong. But let's also, that you guys got it wrong too, because you thought, oh, this is ridiculous. You're getting 6.5 points. So you all agreed with me.
No,
so you were probably very surprised that the final score was what it was.
Not a bit. I'm a big Vrabel fan.
I was surprised.
When he promised that he would cut off his manhood to win the Super Bowl, you know the kind of conviction the guy has. I don't know if McDermott has that same conviction.
You like Vrabel's cubes.
He's got cubes, which he was willing to do away with to win a Super Bowl. I like cubes.
And I would like to, and I don't know if this was on accident, coincidence, or whether RJ was really thinking. I'd like to wish a happy birthday to Stephen A. Smith.
Oh!
And that's who opened the show today. So I don't know if RJ, was that a coinkydink, or did you know that it was Stephen A.'s birthday?
Oh, I know these things.
Oh, see,
I'm glad you noticed.
That's why who he is.
You know what I also like to say? Well, what a delight it was for a football game to start at 7 o'clock and end at a reasonable hour. I mean, if you stayed up for the baseball games, you weren't able to function today in a regular job. But they should start... They should start football games at 7 o'clock. How about this, too? Remember how I waxed poetic about Tom McCarthy, who did a great job?
Yeah.
I got a thank you from Tom. Thank you for saying such a nice thing. I said, how did you know that? My brother-in-law listens to you guys every second of the day.
I got to tell you, he's very good.
He's very good.
And where does he do most of his work? Because I'll tell you the truth.
He's the Phillies' main broadcaster.
Got it, because I didn't even recognize his voice a little bit.
Oh, he's great.
He was brand new to me.
I will tell you what, they had bad sound editing in the game. You couldn't even hear Jay Feely, though. It was a terrible mix.
Yeah, that was tough.
It just wasn't good.
McCarthy did a year of the Mets.
Yeah.
If you remember. No, he's terrific. And you know what?
And I'll be honest, he does a great job as our station general manager.
No, that's Tim McCarthy.
I-O.
Got it.
The thing is,
can we start with the Jets?
All right.
Well, no, you had something else to say.
I was going to say, the audience is so massive that there's the 6 degrees of separation where everyone on the planet could end up finding out what we said just through different people.
True. Well, we welcome Tom McCarthy's brother-in-law. We don't welcome him. We thank him for all the patronage.
He's a member of our family now.
Because you have so many other choices. Now, I don't know why anybody would make any other choice than this, but people do have other choices. Radio, television, podcast, sleeping, they choose us. You know, it's time now for the Gangrene Report. Mm. Gangrene Report on 98.7 ESPN. It's brought to you by White Plains Hospital. What a signing by the Jets, huh? Le'Veon Bell? That worked out great. So it's really smart when you allow a GM to spend all of your money in cap room and then make all of your draft picks and then get fired. Really, really smart. Works out great all the time. So the Jets couldn't give this guy away. They couldn't get a 7th-round pick for him. They couldn't give him away. So they released him last night. What an awful look. I mean, an awful look. Now, is Le'Veon Bell totally without guilt? No. He was terrible here. But I think he was also terrible because the play calling was terrible as well. Unimaginative. The offensive line was bad. Now, Adam Gase is neck deep in this. Neck deep. But he can always rest on the fact that he told Maccagnan, do not sign this guy. I don't want him. We can spend the $52.5 million on an offensive line, which is what we need. If we get him and we don't have an offensive line, what good is he anyway? But that doesn't excuse Adam Gase from completely ignoring the guy for the most part. Now, he gave him carries, and we have some stats to tell you that. But he spoke today to the media, and he showed, according to Rich Cimini, he showed no interest in explaining the rationale behind the move. And regarding the perception that he misused Bell, he said simply, quote, it's irrelevant at this point. No. No, Adam. It's not irrelevant. Because no star player is going to want to come here. Explain why you misused this guy. That's all I'm saying. It's very, very relevant. Very, very relevant. And one other thing. We like Joe Douglas. We say that over and over and over again. He didn't get nearly the blame for this disgusting display of football this year than he should, because this is a roster he put together, and it's brutal. But we asked if he'd come on the show today. No, I'll wait until after the trade deadline when I talk to – why? Today's the day you should tell your fans why you did this. Today. Don't wait until the trade deadline in November. Today's the day. I love how NFL people rest on their laurels like that, because this is the way the NFL does it. Why do other sports answer questions? Joe Douglas should be on the air today, or at least talking to the media and telling them this is why we did this. But no, they hide behind the fact, well, I only talked during right after the trade deadline. Terrible. The Jets handle everything awful. Awful. And don't hold behind, well, that's the way it's always been done. It's terrible. Your fan base deserves an explanation on why this has happened. Because whether or not Le'Veon Bell has lost a step or two, he ain't this bad.
It really doesn't matter. It's irrelevant, Michael, because you don't get the answers anyway. If you remember when Gase was asked what happened with Maccagnan, well, we're going to move on. He never answered that question. We never found out. The guys have investigated to find out what happened, but we don't exactly know what went down. He doesn't explain himself. So why would he explain himself about this? And this is what's really scary to me, is if we believe that the reason Bell wasn't used properly is because it wasn't his signing. He was never on board for signing Bell. But he's here. All right? He's already paid for. You didn't want it. But he's here. And your offense is struggling. Your quarterback is struggling. He's a weapon. I don't know if you guys noticed this. I'm sure Peter will agree. Bell stays in Pittsburgh. He's on his way to the Hall of Fame. So you have this weapon that you didn't want, but he's there. You're weaponless. And you still hardly use him? I don't understand that. And if it's so petty and vindictive that it wasn't your guy, then what lengths is this individual willing to go to make his point? And what makes it very dangerous is that if Bell was out of vindictiveness, then is he treating Darnold the same way? Because Darnold wasn't his pick. That's not his quarterback. If he's willing to sabotage a season and a career of Bell over not wanting him, Michael, what else is he doing behind the scenes? And he's obviously got the power to do all of this. You know how ridiculous it is to think that he didn't use him out of vindictiveness? But what else can you explain? Why else would he not use him?
Well, here's Gase talking about how much of Bell not working out is on him.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, offensively, you know, we haven't really done a whole bunch to really impress anybody right now. We got a lot of things that we got to get corrected. We got a lot of things that we got to do better. We got to coach better. We got to play better. You know, and that's really is an entire team.
Same old story. You're right, Don. Why do we even ask for these things?
This is what scares. I know it scares you, Michael, and I think it scares a lot of Jet fans. He kind of walks around, doesn't have to answer any questions, doesn't have to come on, because he's in charge. And he can do what he wants. completely throw away a valuable player because he has the power to do it. So you brought this up yesterday, and I'm starting to think that you're right, that really doesn't matter how much we think he deserves to be fired. Will he? He doesn't sound like somebody that's got a care in the world right now.
Well, how about also past performance, okay? Under Gase, they've traded three former first-round picks. Jamal Adams, Leonard Williams, Darren Lee. The Jets didn't re-sign Robbie Anderson, and right. Now they've let go of Bell. Now, you could say, well, these are isolated incidents. No, no, no. He had trouble with star players in Miami. I think everybody envisions themselves as Bill Belichick, where they're able to take little pieces of clay and right. make them into winning players. They don't have to be big stars. And really, on the Patriots, how many big stars has Bill Belichick had? Tom Brady, Randy Moss, who else? Where are the other big stars? Because the more no names that you win with, the bigger a genius you are. Is that fair? But this guy yeah. can't win. He's not winning. He got fired in Miami, and in all likelihood, he's going to get fired here.
But he kind of is Bill Belichick from a power standpoint. He was handed over a franchise, right? General manager is his. President of the organization is his. Pretty much everybody, with the exception of Sam Darnold, is gone that was a Maccagnan pick. And who knows? Maybe Sam will be gone too. If there's a face-off to be won, he's probably thinking to himself at the end of the year, if we end up with the first overall pick, I'll trade Sam and I'll draft my quarterback.
And that will be his fallback, where it will retain his genius. It's not, hey, this kid can't play. Give me a chance with a real quarterback. So, Andrew broke out some great stats. So he wanted to spend the money on the offensive line. And he turns out to be right. The offensive line last year was 31st in run blocking, according to Football Outsiders. So bad offensive line, bad Le'Veon. Since the start of last season, Bell has produced 110 rushing yards below what was expected when factoring in his blocking, which was the fourth worst during that time. So even when the line did its job, which was not that many times, Le'Veon still struggled. And we also hear that he didn't have enough carries. He had 245 carries in 15 games last year. That's the 11th most in football. And among all players with at least 175 carries, he was one of only two that failed to rush for 800 yards. And the other player was Devontae Freeman, who had just 184 carries. So there's a lot of blame to go around. So he did hand the ball off to him a lot, but was he creative? Did he throw the ball to him a lot? No, he did not. I think he was a petulant child. He got a great gift at Christmas, but it's not the one he asked for, and he never played with it. And when he played with it, he didn't play with it the way you're supposed to play with it.
And why?
He is a vindictive dude. Yeah. He really is.
And that's scary, Michael, because that vindictiveness, do you think that's just reserved for Bell?
No, that's him.
So what else is going on? So is it fair to then say, well, is he kind of in a similar way doing the same thing for Sam? We're talking about an unimaginative offense, very vanilla, and there's no creativity. Is this all to make the quarterback look bad so he can make the change?
It's a
serious allegation, Michael, but it's not that crazy out of left field when we seem to think that that was the reason Bell wasn't used properly, out of vindictiveness.
And so, I know you don't agree with me. Neither does Peter. I think that he and Douglas are tied closer than everybody makes it out to be. And I don't think it's a slam dunk that he's going to get fired, unless the owner steps in and says he has to go. If it's up to Douglas, Douglas owes this guy something.
Oh, I don't disagree with you about that. If it's up to Douglas, Douglas would stay with him. I'm disagreeing that it's going to be up to Douglas. They know that.
But the other guy says he's a brilliant offensive mind. So what kind of dunce will he look like?
That was a long 3 weeks ago.
But here's the thing, Peter. At some point, somebody has to face the music, right? You can't just keep having losing seasons and it's nobody's fault. So, yeah, maybe in the immediate future, Joe Douglas is like, hey, I got this job because of Gase, and we're gonna stick with this, and we're all going to work, sing kumbaya together. But at some point, when does Joe Douglas say, hey, listen, I'm drafting these players. I'm putting together a team. We're not winning. I don't want to be the one that gets fired. So at some point, right, fingers are going to start to get pointed at, right?
Oh, yeah.
We just can't keep losing. So maybe Michael's right. Maybe they survive this year because a new quarterback may be coming and they can convince it. But at some point, if the coach is as bad as he seems to be, what is the general manager's just going to be grateful forever? Because then eventually it's going to be, well, if it's not the coach, it must be the general manager. And it, but, might cost him his job.
Doesn't the story, though, of Gase driving to his house to recruit him, and now he's gonna be the guy who fires him or be part and parcel of it? I just don't see it. I mean, the one difference could be that if the president of the United States loses the election and all of a sudden Woody Johnson comes home, Woody could say, you know what? I don't want any of you guys. You're all out. I didn't hire you. Christopher did. But as long as Christopher's here and he publicly anointed this guy as the most brilliant thing ever, brilliant offensive mind, have we seen one instance of brilliance? And now today, after speaking with people, including Joe Douglas, he's decided to retain the offensive play calling.
Right.
Nothing's changing. Nothing. Well, he's going to have an excuse for everything. And the fact that Bell was released, Don and Peter, shows you how much power he still does have.
Yeah, no, he still has a tremendous amount of power, but I think Johnson can be swayed, right? I mean, take
why,
a look
by
at
Peyton Manning?
Well, it was Peyton Manning that, you know, remember, they were all in on McCagnan. I don't care what anybody says. Otherwise, you wouldn't have him handle the draft and free agency. So it took one guy whispering in his ear, Adam Gase, to say, you got to get rid of this guy, right? So all it takes, I guess, is the right person getting in his ear. And you know what I would say to Chris Johnson? Did you watch the game last night? Did you see Ryan Tannehill? Have you seen Ryan Tannehill since he left Miami and went to Tennessee? Do you see what he's blossomed into? Doesn't that tell you that maybe Gase isn't the quarterback whisperer? It was all, oh, Tannehill's always hurt. It wasn't his fault. Well, he wasn't hurt the entire time that he was there. And now he goes somewhere else and he blossoms. So how many quarterbacks is he going to continue to get a chance to make great? Because if he fails with Darnold, it's going to be, well, we're going to have the first overall pick, so we'll go out and get Trevor Lawrence. Why does he get another crack at Lawrence? What, to ruin him too?
Now, these are the possible landing spots for Bell, according to Bill Barnwell of ESPN. The Bears, the Chiefs, the Buccaneers, back with the Steelers, the Browns, the 49ers, the Titans, the Seahawks, the Dolphins, the Cardinals. Some people are even saying the Giants. The worst thing that could happen to Adam Gase, if this guy goes somewhere and returns to the guy that he was with the Steelers. Because now you could write it off. You know, he's not the same player, averaging 3.3 yards a carry,
blah, blah, blah.
If he goes somewhere else and all of a sudden you see flashes of the brilliance that he had with Pittsburgh. He's just still 28, by the way. I know running backs age. He's 28. With 27 years of wear and tear on the body, 1 year he sat out, which might have actually did a disservice to his talent. But if he goes somewhere else and blossoms, that could be the final nail.
But,
because as Don said, you watched Tannehill yesterday, an inventive approach. He's able to run, throw, really, really moves that team, takes advantage of everything that the defense gives him. If Bell goes somewhere else and all of a sudden they're throwing to him and right, he's got open and space and he makes moves and he gets yards – that's going to make Gase look awful.
And awful. You can't tell me that Ryan Tannehill is that much more talented than Sam Darnold. So it's got to be the coaching. And also, if Bell's done, there wouldn't be that many teams interested in him, right?
Right.
Every team that you mentioned has aspirations for the playoffs except the Giants, who are desperate for a running back. And all those places he'll excel, Michael. You think Seattle is as well-run an organization as there is? Is going to bring in a guy that's shot? Is Pittsburgh going to put their toe back in the water after everything they know if they think he's shot? Come on. Tennessee undefeated? Are they going to bring in somebody that's going to bring have it all fall down if he's actually shot? Come on. If he was a shot player, Michael, nobody would be interested. There'd be one or two teams. The Giants might be interested just because they're desperate because they need a running back.
You know, I don't mind. I really don't mind people that are great at something carrying themselves like they invented the world. It's not a great trait to have, but I don't mind it because they've earned that swag. They've earned it. This guy carries himself, Adam Gase, as if he's invented football And every test he's taken, he's failed. The only one he's ever really aced was with a quarterback that's considered one of the best who ever lived. So just the way he carries himself and the way he answers questions, nothing's on him. So he's saying, yeah, I got to be better coaching. You say that every week for the last 21 weeks.
I'm tired of it, Don. Of course, you're tired of it. But listen, if I don't want to mention any names because I don't want to disparage anybody, but if you took an average to below average talk show host and put him an afternoon drive and told him he's the greatest thing going, you know, he's going to walk around like he's the man because he is. You know, and then you get failed ratings, but hey, listen, they handed me the keys to the radio station. I must be good. They gave him the keys to the franchise, reserved for only the great coaches of all time. Think of the guys that have as much power as Gase in recent memory.
So true.
Bill Parcells, right? Mike Holmgren.
Gruden.
Bill Belichick. John Gruden. Guys with rings jingling and jangling. Guys that accomplish stuff with multiple organizations. And they could say all they want. Well, no, he's just a coach. He had everything to do with the hiring of the general manager. He had everything to do with the firing of Neil Glatt as the president. He's had everything to do with personnel decisions. He was given everything. He owns this franchise with zero resume. I can't think of another one in sports. Can you think of anybody else in sports?
Can you explain?
This is like giving Doug Moe the Nick franchise. Here. Go ahead. You run the whole thing. You can coach, be the general manager. We're handing you the entire organization.
At least Doug Moe's had some success.
When has that ever happened?
Can you explain, though? Like, so they start the conversation with Gase, okay? Peyton Manning calls. Eric, Michael, do you want to do an impression of how excited the Johnsons were when Manning called? So they're that excited. Peyton Manning's on the phone. You got to talk to my old coordinator, Adam Gase. He's so great. They go, really? Genius. The guy who just flamed out in Miami? Yeah, trust me. This is the guy you want. How do you go from, all right, let's give this guy who was fired a shot because Peyton says he's great. How do you go from let's give him a shot to handing him the keys to everything?
You know
the
why?
The guy had zero
you know
leverage.
Why? Because obviously, in retrospect, McCagnum wasn't that smart. Didn't protect his flank. Right. And Gase is smart.
Yeah.
Gase is shrewd.
Give him that.
And, I mean, again, no disparagement toward anybody, but it came out last week that Mike McCagnum was calling a talk show host for advice. That's how smart Mike McCagnum was. So,
yeah, but
that was an easy pushover for Gase.
Again, that's fine. But the Jets obviously didn't have any problems until Gase got here. See, that's the thing, Peter. It didn't all happen at once. It wasn't, oh, Peyton Manning called. I'm giving Adam Gase the entire franchise. I'm going to make him my head coach. Gase is shrewd enough to realize, hey, I got a lot of control here. This McCagnan guy seems like a clown. I'm going to go talk to Johnson and see if I get him fired. Well, I can. All right. He seems like he's really asking me what to do. All right, so I'm going to start bringing in my own people and the people that I like and the people that I get along with. And every time he'd ask Chris Johnson would say, sure, okay. So it wasn't an A to B, like, quick handshake, here's the franchise. It was, hey, I feel like I can really control things here. And that would be all well and good if you had a resume. I'd have no problem doing that for Bill Parcells or Mike Holmgren or Bill Belichick. But for a guy that was a head coach for 3 years in Miami and went to the playoffs once and doesn't have any kind of resume of being a soothsayer at all. And on top of this, that Peyton Manning phone call, Michael, makes sense if you want to make the guy your quarterback's coach or make him your offensive coordinator.
Right.
Not your head
coach. Give him the franchise?
You want to hear the reaction again, Peter?
Yeah. I need to have Peyton Manning make a phone call for me somewhere because, my God.
Pro Bowl canceled, by the way. Pro Bowl canceled. Well,
no.
Yeah. Andrew Brandt had a great tweet. Now 12 million people have to do something else rather than tweet about watching something they say that no one watches.
That is probably one of the most hate-watched sporting events in history is the Pro Bowl. Because the people that watch it do nothing but complain that they're watching it.
See, I put my money where my mouth is. I legitimately forget to watch it every year.
Beautiful. All right, let's shower off. That was a big opening. We got a lot of stuff to do today. I'm going to have Ryan Clark on at 4 o'clock. Maybe he'll try to make sense of this. We have to talk about the Yankees' 2.5-hour meeting with the media. That team really answers questions. The Jets, though, well, we don't do anything until after the trade deadline. Okay, because the GM's so busy now. So busy. Can't have 20 minutes to talk to the print media. That's the Gang Green Report brought to you by White Plains Hospital. Your health is essential. Don't delay your flu shot. Call 914-849-MY-MD to find a physician. And that has nothing to do with being on the show. That's not what this is about. You don't think Jet fans deserve to hear from the GM why you released this guy? What was out there available? What couldn't you do? Why did he get released? No. Instead, you let Adam Gase answer, and you sit there under some kind of imagined window that you could talk to the media. Joe, you're better than that, and you're good on your feet. You can answer questions. It's embarrassing to the organization.
But Joe's been a pretty stand-up guy this whole time, really probably wants to avoid saying, what are you going to do about the head coach? Because the whole city knows it's
a big boy job. A big boy job. Have an answer.
Okay. Not wrong.
Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. And I just mean it in this way. There are certain days that you owe your fan base an explanation. When you release a guy that you've paid $28 million to do nothing. Although Michael, it's not on you. You didn't sign him. But your coach was part of the organization when he was signed. You owe your fans an explanation. And when you don't give your fans an explanation, it leaves it to big gavones like us to try to explain it. Michael, and you're not going to look good when the gavones explain it.
Do you know how I found out that Bell was released last night?
Twitter.
They broke into the game. Mm-hmm. They went to Jim Brown, and he told it. So you can't say it's not a big deal. They broke into the game, went back into studio to announce it. And we don't have any answers on why it happened?
Amazing. And then when you ask Gay, it's not relevant. It is relevant, Adam. It is relevant.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
So the Jet GM before the season started, and I'm just paraphrasing here, correct me if I'm off base, said his team didn't like the fact that they weren't getting respect, but that they deserved more respect than they were getting. Well, we respected them to the tune of thinking they'd win 6 or 7 games. So we over-respected them. They're 0-5, careening toward 0-16. So did Joe Douglas read this team that wrong? Or is that maybe a wake-up call to him that this team's not that bad, Adam Gase is just that bad? Because he did say that, Don. Am I right?
He backed off of it when we had him on. He told it to the assembled media. It made some news. We had him on the next day, and he totally backtracked. So I don't know if somebody talked to him, whether he just realized, all right, this is a mistake. Did Adam Gase say to him, listen, we don't have the talent to do that, whatever. But you're right. The guy that assembled the talent went to the media and said he was insulted.
Right.
That people thought that this was going to be a bad football team. And now they're 0-5, and we're actually having a legitimate conversation that 0-16 is on the table.
Our listeners should be insulted that we pretty much projected them to 6 or 7 wins. How wrong we're going to be. That's who should be insulted. Now, Cameron Wolf, who covers the Dolphins for us at ESPN. How about this? You'll love this stuff, Peter.
Okay.
The Dolphins are 9.5-point favorites over the Jets. Miami is favored for the first time since Week 16 of 2018. The first time they're favored by more than a touchdown since 2016. The last time they won back-to-back games by double digits, week 6 and 7 of 2015. That's what Vegas thinks of the Jets.
Mm. Can you
imagine?
9.5-point
underdogs to the Dolphins. Now, I'm not saying the Dolphins are a bad team. They embarrassed RJ Santillo's 49ers embarrassed
sure
them.
Sure did.
But 9.5 points.
And they hung against Seattle. And I watched a lot of that game because I had picked Seattle to cover. And the Dolphins hung. The Dolphins hung with New England. They hung with Buffalo. So they don't get blown out. They're playing competitive football. And you know Fitzpatrick would probably love to hang, you know, 350 on the Jets every time he plays them, I'm sure. But think about that, 9.5. So what's the spread going to be against Kansas City? Against Seattle? They're going to play in Seattle,
Michael.
Got to
be in the 20s.
It's going to be at least, you know, 16, 17 and a half.
I have another question to ask about the Jet GM. So he's not addressing the media today after releasing, I'd say, the most famous player on the team. That's fair. What happens if he fired Adam Gase? Would he wait until the trade deadline to talk? There are some things that are bigger than this schematic that you set for yourself. I'm not going to talk except before the season, at the trade deadline, and then after the season. What happens if you fire your coach at the end of this week? Are you going to address the media, or will just leave it to us to like guess why you fired him? Just got to get a hold on this.
I never really understood why you wouldn't come on to explain the moves that you made. Like, only good things can come from it, right? I mean, think of the respect that the Yankees have for Hal's availability yesterday, or the couple of times that Dolan has come on. Like, people just appreciate it. They may disagree with what you say, but they kind of appreciate it. When you don't come on and you give an excuse, like, listen, maybe he's not available today, all right? Maybe he's not available the day that you ask him, but the whole we'll talk after the trading deadline. It bothers me because it's a win to come on. It's a win. Now it just seems like you're hiding, like you're not sure. Why would you want that narrative out there?
Let's go to Seth in Jersey City. Seth.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
It could be a lot better if the Jets were not such a gross, incompetent excuse of a franchise. Going back to what you guys said a few weeks ago, I think it was after the Indy loss, you know, Gase is a symptom of a greater organizational failure. And I'm just finding it extremely hard to continue to be loyal to this team as long as the Johnsons continue to own it. Am I wrong in thinking that?
Well, I mean, if you're finding it hard to be loyal to a team that's inept, I could understand that. I don't think the Johnsons are getting rid of the team. You have to hope that the Johnsons have an epiphany like the Maras did, where they were forced by the NFL to hire George Young. Because even if you're a bad ownership, if you run into a fastball and you hire a great GM, it can change. It's not like the Johnsons don't want to win.
Hey, the Giants, we talked about it how many times, got George Young through the NFL through Pete Rozelle, all right? So it wasn't like some great, we know football better than everybody, let's hire George Young. Had to come at the recommendation of the commissioner because Pete Rozelle was tired of having the number one television market have a team that won 4 games a year. So I'm not asking the Johnsons all of a sudden to know football, but they have to hire somebody that knows the game and back that guy and have conviction. They've got to stop with, you know, losers, guys with losing resumes, guys with no resume whatsoever. Think of the general managers that they've hired in recent vintage. Who, John Idzig was what? An assistant in Tampa. You know, Mike Maccagnan had never been a general manager before. You know, you hire Joe Douglas, never been a general manager before. They haven't really gone out there, Michael, and got anybody with really any solid experience in a long time. Right? Tannenbaum was grown within the organization, but it was his first general manager's job. Bradway, I think, spent some time in Kansas City and had been in the USFL. But when are they going to hire somebody that, you know, that has a resume?
I'll tell you what, Tannenbaum now looks like a home run compared to anybody that they've had. I mean, look at some of Tannenbaum's drafts. I mean, he brought in players.
It's so funny with both of these organizations, right? You know, we go back to how desperate Giant fans were to get rid of Tom Coughlin. How badly would you have wanted him back before this year? Because we'll see what Joe Judge ends up being. But turned out Tom Coughlin wasn't that awful because McAdoo couldn't stop it and Shurmur couldn't stop it from happening. And then you go back to you got to get rid of Tannenbaum. He's clueless. He's a capologist. He doesn't know football. You got to get rid of Rex Ryan. The guy's a clown. How badly does a Jet fan right now want Rex Ryan as their head coach and Mike Tannenbaum as their general manager? How bad?
Pretty bad.
I'm not saying those guys were world beaters and they had their deficiencies and it was probably time for them to go at the time. But really, Michael, since then, has it gotten anywhere close to what they were able to have success?
No, not even close. Anthony Greek from Yes gives us a couple of fun odds lines. Peter's so good at picking. I wonder if he'd like to do this. Who wins a game first, the Giants or the Jets? Giants are -300, Jets +200. Who ends up being the last winless team? The Jets -250, Falcons +200, Giants +250.
Well, I'm going to tip my hand, Michael. I love the Giants this week to win outright against the Redskins.
It's Washington football.
You got to give me – I'm sorry. You got to let it go this year. You have to.
Yeah, that's what I understand.
All right?
It's hard.
If you're saying St. Louis Cardinals, you deserve to be reprimanded. Right?
How about the St. Louis Rams? Does that deserve reprimanding?
You deserve to be reprimanded.
That happens too, but it happens. Certainly.
I think San Diego Chargers doesn't deserve any kind of reprimand.
No, that's forever. They are forever the San Diego Chargers.
Brashard Perriman said that he was, quote, kind of shocked by the Le'Veon Bell news. I guess Brashard really doesn't read the papers much.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Everybody, it's me. I'm back. And guess what? It's another Don segment.
We're doing the list, Michael. I don't care if you don't like it.
The Daily Don.
I'll fight to the death for this list.
It's the Daily Don Show. He makes lists.
Take it away, Donnie.
So, when in doubt, you try to go topical, right? Like what we've been talking about.
Yeah.
In a perfect world, if you're able to do that, I try to strive for that.
This is so not a perfect world.
Top five running backs that were great, very good, come to New York and wet the bed.
Oh, my.
Wow. Top five running backs that were great came to New York and wet the bed. I need a minute here.
I don't know if I have any.
Sure you do. Sure you do.
This is the danger, Peter, because these get judged usually on how many guesses you have. But when you don't have anything right away, especially when I said it was topical, that could be an issue.
All right, Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, I mean,
all right, thank you. Lev Bell is number three on our list with the Jets. Three Pro Bowls in 5 years with the Steelers, 17 games with the Jets, and he had 863 yards combined for three touchdowns. Not all his fault, but still, a guy that was on his way to the Hall of Fame and probably still will get there if he goes to places like Kansas City and Seattle, Peter, would be number three on my list.
I got another Peter if you're still thinking.
You do?
Yep.
Go ahead.
LaDainian Tomlinson.
No. That's terrible.
I didn't even think about it because Tomlinson was very productive with the Jets, and they went to a championship game his first year. He was really good.
You should sit out the rest.
No. He wasn't as great as he was with San Diego.
But that wasn't the top five. I said wet the bed.
It wasn't top five, not as good as they were in San Diego. Thomas Jones was good here.
Mm-hmm.
I want to think about Giants.
There are two Giants on this list.
Two Giants.
Three Jets, two Giants.
And are they all relatively modern era?
I got one.
There's one that goes back a ways.
I got one.
Yes, Michael.
As I would say, Larry Zonker.
Larry Zonker is number one. See, it's amazing.
Wow, so he gets the old one.
Almost takes him off the hook the rest of the way.
Zonker.
Yeah.
Zonker.
And he took the low-hanging Zonker. Fruit in Bell, and then he grabs number one.
Zonker.
Zonka had a Hall of Fame career with the Miami Dolphins.
Oh, sure did he ever.
Five Pro Bowls in that span of time. Then he went to the Giants, and he averaged 448 yards in 3 years, which is 3.6 touchdowns.
Not what you want.
Not what you want. And believe me, they didn't sign him just for a goof, Michael. I remember I had the yearbook, the 76 yearbook, because that's when the Giants moved into the brand new East Rutherford facility. And he had the hard hat on, looking at the construction. It was going to be the house that Zonka built. No, that's number one.
I don't know. It's funny because I know all of these. I'm going to know all of them.
One of them, you're going to kick yourself because it's easy to forget because his name is so common.
So common.
But he...
How about Common?
No. And one of them was very good. I'll say, how about this for a hint? One of them was actually a Giant that went to the Jets.
Mm. Went from the Giants as a running back to the Jets.
Well, eventually to the Jets. He spent some time with another team, too. And how about this for a hint? He's currently incarcerated.
Currently incarceration?
Can we ask Incarcerated Bob? He might have seen him.
Oh, Bob knows.
Bob knows all these, to
believe
me.
I want Bob to guess along. That's an invitation, Bob. So it's not helping? Should we move on?
Really,
I don't want this list to be judged based on your ignorance.
How about Tiki on the Today Show?
Does Tiki on the Today Show count? Show me Tiki.
You know what? Yeah, I thought about it, but then I realized, wait a minute, the Today Show isn't necessarily a New York vehicle.
That's a great point.
It is a New York vehicle.
It's filmed here, but it's national.
But it's not a local show. It's a national show.
Wow.
See, Andrew had a very interesting creative guess because he was thinking, because it was a bad draft pick, that he was great in college and it was awful with the Jets. But I'm not accepting Blair Thomas as a guess. These are within the NFL confines.
It's not fair.
But still, the
ones that are remaining, there are two remaining? Are there two?
Oh, yeah.
We got five,
God, here we go.
Four, two.
I went to Twitter, and I admitted I went to Twitter, but
that's
the
right.
kind of thing I knew I was forgetting. Chris Johnson.
That's right. Chris Johnson is the common name you might forget. Chris Johnson was a three-time Pro Bowler in Tennessee, six straight years of 1,000 yards. One
rushed
of those
for 2,000.
You might remember was a 2,000-yard
right.
season.
That's right. Got a 2,000-yarder.
He went to 1 year with the Jets and rushed for 663 yards and one touchdown, 151 receiving and one touchdown, and then he was gone. Chris Johnson is number two.
And then he went on to own the team.
I think I have another one.
Here we go.
The incarcerated one.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Incarcerated Dave Meggett.
Incarcerated Dave Meggett. Now, he was, you know, you look at his stats from a running back position, but he was very good out of the backfield, won a Super Bowl with the Giants, went to a Super Bowl with the Patriots, went to two Pro Bowls.
I didn't know he went to a Super Bowl with the Patriots.
Then he went to the Jets, literally to close out his career, played two games, rushed seven times for 24 yards, one catch for 15 yards, had a fumble in the championship game in 98. Just not very productive, and then eventually went to prison. Not because of that performance, but other things.
You sure it wasn't that performance?
I mean, I'm sure a lot of Jet fans wanted him incarcerated after that. He's number five.
There's one more, right?
We've got Dave Meggett at five. We got Lev Bell at three. We got Chris Johnson at two. Larry Zonka at one. So we're looking for number four.
You know what I'm getting on Twitter a lot of, which I usually agree with the people? They don't like the music behind the Daily Don.
Wire.
Love the show. You should lose the music during Daily Don. Distracting.
I see that tweet. It's one tweet.
Ben Falcone said, honestly, the music for the list brings me back to like May and I get nauseous.
Well, I can understand that. I was going to say the one person probably didn't listen during the pandemic because I'm wondering why now would you have a problem with it when we did this like for 4 months. But, you know, maybe you're new to the show. We could fade it out at some point, especially when it's not working like it is today.
I think it's important.
All right, we're looking for number four. Feel
and
free to use
it. Is this a Jet or a Giant?
This actually is a Giant.
A Giant.
Never played for the Jets.
But he was great with the Giants, and then
No. See,
no, he was a bum with the Giants.
That's just why you're struggling, because you're not.
You don't understand what we're doing.
The
he came from another team.
Five. Very good to great running back, comes to the Giants, wets the bed. Comes to the Jets, wets the bed.
I mean, wet the bed.
I mean, just really just soiled be it. A shell of himself. Just not really be what you expect.
Where did he come from?
He spent a year in Philly. Before that, he was a Viking. And then he was someplace before that that would give it away.
Oh, wow. Neither of those places were where you would be excited about him from.
How about this?
Yes.
I think he played with the Giants for a little bit. I think. Herschel Walker?
Oh, Herschel Walker would be number four. Great sell. Great sell, Mike.
No memory. I believe this is wrong. I don't believe he was actually ever on the Giants.
All right. Well, that just goes to show how bad he was that one year in 95. Now, this was a guy that, listen, you know about his exploits in Dallas, and he never really lived up to expectations in Minnesota. But he combined for 40 touchdowns the previous 5 years before he came to the Giants. And then his 1 year with the Giants, he had just one touchdown. Not good. Herschel Walker, number four.
So funny. That was the first thing that popped in my mind, but I went, he wasn't on the Giants.
Herschel Walker, four. Bell, three. Chris Johnson, two. Larry Zonka, one. So it's topical, right? Right there with the Bells.
Beautiful job by Don. Beautiful
job. He puts work into this, Peter. You know, he doesn't phone anything in. It's not what he's about.
I see tweets from people saying they love the music. They don't want it to change.
I don't know why the music would bother you. I think the music was accentuated by the fact that there were long pauses of silence. That maybe,
yes. Yeah, right.
If we're firing off guests, like tomorrow, you're going to be firing off guests.
Oh, you have tomorrow?
I have tomorrow.
Wow. Michael, did you know we were doing this tomorrow also?
I didn't know that, but, you know, might as well if he has it.
So don't tease me and then I'll take it away again.
Well, I didn't think it was going to be an everyday thing.
I knew it. See, this is why I brought it up, because I think there's a miscommunication.
This is an assumption. You know what happens when you assume?
Yep.
That because the Yankees were done and the Giants and Jets are almost, there's
done
no more conversation about them anymore, and we're hearing like a lot of bad things on when the NBA may start again.
I heard May today. March.
Yeah. That
March?
I thought that now this is the perfect time to start groove like we did those 4 months, because there's going to be days where we're going to have to try to be creative. But if Michael wants to just when he feels like it, but I really thought the door was open, Peter.
Well, listen, I'm here for it. I love it. Michael, we know, has, you know, he has some mixed
feelings.
No.
It's fine.
I think he has mixed feelings.
It's fine.
How about this? The intention will be to do it every day. But if something big happens, we have the right to waive it any given moment.
But that's a lot to put on your plate. You've got twins.
But
you've
got
to make your wife happy. It's not good.
But here's the thing, Michael, is that if you tell me we're not doing it today, okay, then we'll just do that top five the next day.
Yeah, but you like to be topical. It messes things up. All right. So there's another top five tomorrow. Anyway, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Eli in Brooklyn. Eli.
Hi, Michael, Peter, Don. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. What's up?
Everywhere I look, I see the Jets are going to get the number one pick, go 0-16, and draft Trevor Lawrence. But I don't understand. You have a franchise quarterback in Darnold, and you're just going to be putting Trevor Lawrence in the same situation. So why don't you choose choose Sam Darnold and build around him for the first time before you have another quarterback that fails? They just continue in a continuous carousel of quarterbacks like they have been for the past 10, 15 years.
Well, I would assume, Eli, that if, in fact, they go 0-16, not even the friendship of Douglas and Gase could survive with Gase being the coach. So, I mean, as far as I remember, Don, Leon Hess loved Rich Kotite. Loved him.
Oh, yeah.
Moved heaven and earth to get him. But he went 1-15, he was gone. Gase would be gone. And then you have to make the decision, was the problem Gase, or is there, you heard what Ryan Clark said, you see glimpses of greatness with Sam, and then you see decisions that make you scratch your head. By the way, if you haven't heard, Sam is out for this week again.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's what I'll say, as somebody that's been a defender of Sam. You can't rule out the possibility that Michael, that some of this is on him, and that it's just not really there. right? You can't rule that out. I can have the opinion the coach has damaged him or the coach is the reason he has looked as poorly as he's looked, but there's still the possibility that it's also on him. And then if Trevor Lawrence is somebody you believe, if everything is equal, is going to be better than Sam anyway, then does that end up being the deciding factor? Where, yeah, it's not so much we don't think Sam's great, we do, but we think if everything is equal under the right coaching, that Lawrence is going to end up being better than Sam could ever be. Aren't you under the obligation to see that through?
I don't know.
You know, that's what it comes down to. And also what I would do in a perfect world is that you hire the coach and then let the coach decide who he wants to coach. Right, so you ask him, all right, do you think Sam's got it? Then we can trade that pick and we can get a bunch of talent. So that's the other thing too, Michael, is that they need a lot. So trading Sam or trading the number one pick should get back a haul where you can now start getting some talent in this team. But maybe you let the coach decide, hey, I want Trevor Lawrence. I want him bad. That's what happened with Kingsbury in Arizona, right? It was like, you know, they were able to give up on Rosen because Kingsbury wanted Murray.
Maybe you bring in Dabo Sweeney. Then you know what he was going to want.
Yeah, well, there you go. So I don't know if that's where they'll go, but just let the coach decide. Who do I want to coach, and who do I think's got the best chance? Because you figure whoever you're going to hire is going to have a knowledge of the game and a knowledge of what Sam has been able to accomplish.
And something must be seeping through the walls of the building, because I think if they went to a college coach, they'd probably go to Lou Holtz. That's what I think.
Well, you know what would get upset about that is Omar, because Lou Holtz, if you remember, quit on the 76 Jets.
Well, he doesn't like that.
And he's now straight up crazy.
He's Kooky Dukes?
Who?
Holtz?
Omar?
Yeah.
Well, Omar, we know, is crazy, but in a lovable way. Holtz is just a lunatic.
1-800-919-3776. Yankees had a very long talk with the media today. When's the last time the Jets front office and their coach spoke with the media for 2.5 hours?
I don't even know.
When was the last time any other New York teams did that?
I'll tell you what. I was sitting there, and I was committed to watching the whole thing, and at the end, I'm going, really? It's still going on? I had lunch. I had a snack after lunch. I mean, it's 2.5 hours.
That you have to say, Michael, as much as we appreciate that they communicate, that's a little much.
Yeah, bad job out of you guys. I watched every minute. I loved it.
I watched every minute, too.
No, I didn't even walk away to eat. I just stared directly at the screen. I was so
You know
into
this
it.
Is a lie.
I didn't well, know.
I don't think you saw 1 second of it.
Not only do I not know the time it occurred, I don't know where you would consume it.
On the Yes Network, you clown.
See, that you got to say this. You know, they're not a network that sends it to their streaming service. They actually air press conference.
Oh, really? I like better when you run like a weird game show on over the air, right. and then you just throw it on your Twitter.
And then have people search on their computer to try to find it.
That's how you do it.
No, that's not how the Yes Network does it.
This is how you do it.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. The Michael K. Show.
Ryan Clark, what do you make of Le'Veon Bell release? And is there a finger to point to someone to say it's their fault?
I mean, I think all the fingers in New York right now point to Adam Gase, it seems like.
I mean, there are some people that say, well, Le'Veon Bell's done. From what you see, is he done or can he excel if he's used the right way?
I don't think he's done at all, but Le'Veon Bell was very productive in Pittsburgh because he was utilized a ton.
Do you agree with the perception that you misused him?
It's irrelevant at this point.
This is the Michael K. Show.
Gase being the graduate assistant for Nick Saban at LSU, did he have this kind of arrogance and swagger back then?
You know, he was kind of like Peter, you know what I mean? He was cool. No, I'm just playing.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Not only a great guest, but takes a shot at Peter. I mean, it's like perfect. Perfect storm.
Your favorite. Your favorite.
Now, I will say this. I don't know if you thought this at all, Peter.
You don't know me.
That, yeah, you know, he knows you. I think he confused.
Yes, he did.
Michael and I.
Yeah, because I'm not on Twitter or on social media with any.
Oh,
streaming.
That's what he meant.
Absolutely,
yeah, I think so.
Got
right?
It. Okay,
like, that's how I took it. Like I've gone on the internet. I've seen your rants. I know you can lose it. No, Michael's lost it, but I don't think he's like known for
losing it
on the internet.
Right.
So
yeah, so he's in the Bill Parcell family.
Fix that.
Hey, listen, I've been confused with worse people.
Than K. It's
best. Close.
Not morally worse.
Well, I'm morally very, very
He's the only person, honestly, he's the only person I can say that could run for president with no worries.
But that's, see, you know what, Don? I'm glad you brought that up.
Stop capping. What does capping mean?
Because that's not about morals. That's about making sure you keep your nose clean.
No.
Those are very different things.
You're full of it.
Yeah, that's not right.
All right.
Because if you don't have morals, you don't care about keeping your nose clean.
No. Some people would say that they had aspirations of running for president, right? Mm-hmm. So they would make sure that their indiscretions were covered.
Doesn't matter anymore, but go ahead.
Don't leave any tracks. Right, wow. Once upon a time, though. When you first were making these decisions in life, Michael.
Right.
Michael took it a step further. He said to himself, I don't know what I want to be necessarily, but I'm not going to do those things so that they can't go back. So it wasn't like covering it up. He just flat out. And you know, do you understand, Peter, the fun he missed out on?
I had a lot of fun.
No,
I did.
Don, I don't think he missed out on fun because I don't think he's fun. He didn't skip out on the fun parties in college because he was keeping his nose clean. It's because he was a narc, and all he would have done is called the police.
No, but I think he was that way because he knew that was the better.
I went to fun parties in college, but when they broke out the bubons, I was done.
No, but then you weren't at fun parties. Right, then you weren't having fun. You got to experiment in college, Mike. You just have to.
I'm sorry. Anyway, although I think Charlie is following my footsteps because yesterday, you know, there's a mudroom in our house, and that leads into the garage. And I'm standing with him in the mudroom because he wanted to get an ice cream sandwich. When we have a freezer in the garage, he says, "Can I have an ice cream sandwich?" That's what he says.
He did?
Yeah, he always says sandwich. And I said, "Yeah, go get it." And he looked at me. I said, "Go ahead, go get it." He goes, "I'm not allowed to go in the garage without anybody."
So is that what he said?
Come with me. I gave him permission to go, and he wouldn't because his mother said you can't go in the garage alone ever.
I'm not allowed to go.
No, I like that. Now, what kind of ice cream sandwich was it?
Just sandwich.
Your typical,
just a regular ice cream sandwich.
Awful. I mean, come on, Michael. Use your money. Get a Chipwich. Will you stock that thing up for Chipwiches? You know, give the kids something.
It's a fair point.
They don't like Chipwiches that much. They'd rather have a regular ice cream sandwich.
I think you
got
to take them aside then. It's time to take Charlie aside.
Some of the things covered with the Yankees. Is Sanchez going to be back? And Brian was honest. He said, you know, that's a decision that we have to make. He said it's turned into a decision that we have to make. But then he also said, he said he hit a lot better than what the numbers said in the second month. And maybe I don't know baseball like Brian. No, he didn't. He hit 147. I saw every at bat. That's what he hit. He legitimately hit 147. He struck out. He was overmatched. Occasionally, he would hit a ball hard that it was caught. So, was he better than 147? Maybe 170. But he wasn't like 270. So, it's hard to put lipstick on a pig on this one. You can use all the analytics you want. The numbers will tell you a different story if you watched every at-bat. I did. He was helpless at the plate.
He was. Come on.
Helpless.
And what's that stat? Is it Babbin? What's the...
Babbitt, you know, batting average on ball and play, and he was. Did he hit in bad luck the last playoff game where he struck out four times? Did he hit in bad luck? That's not bad luck.
What was that game? He struck out on three pitches. Come on.
And he also said, he's better defensively than you would think. No, he's not.
Listen. I love him. I mean, obviously they're very good. I'm not a Yankee fan, but I respect the heck out of him. Okay. They really are kind of being that guy sometimes when it comes to, well, we see it differently than you kind of garbage. Come on.
They also don't want to completely ravage his value. Maybe they could fool somebody into that he's better than he has been.
Well, we're going to see, Michael, because all I know is this guy that they see something in wasn't playing meaningful games down the stretch. Right?
Yeah, it's not what you want.
Higashioka took the job away from him. Let's be plain. All right, so you could tell me about the stats show that he frames better than anybody else, and he does lower pitches. Yes, I'm sure you can find anything. Okay,
well, it's not like Higashioka yanked the job away from him. It was kind of
They kept saying that was what Aaron said. You know, it was really a product of what Higashioka did. No, that's not true either. Gary Sanchez was hitting home runs as great as a defensive catcher as Higashioka is. He did not play his way ahead of Gary. No. Gary played his way out of the starting spot.
Correct. Correct.
But when you're in that position, you can't say those truths. You can't rip your players, but it's such an obvious thing. It wasn't Higashioka just took the job out of Gary and ripped his throat out. No, Gary could not hit.
I'm sure there's a stat, Michael, I can find that could tell you that Bozo the Clown would be a great Chippendales dancer. But the eyes tell us that that's not going to happen. That's not the case. So
that
so
was
stop.
Quite. That was. I got to tell you, I never heard that one before.
Also, how do you know if he under that uniform, you have no idea if he'd be a great Chippendale dancer.
It's a great point.
But the numbers tell you that it's. You know, your eyes tell you it's not going to happen.
No, probably. My eyes don't. He's got makeup on and a big blousy uniform. I have no idea if he'd be great at Chippendales.
And you don't know what kind of weird chicks are into naked clowns.
What would you
Chris Farley was unbelievable doing that. He wouldn't have the prototypical.
He was unbelievably funny, Michael. It wasn't attractive to look at.
I think a lot of people thought it was attractive.
That was a sketch. That was the humor in it, is that it wasn't.
Oh.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Colleen in Rockland. Colleen, talk to us.
Hi, Colleen.
Yeah, hi. How you doing?
We're in Rockland. How are you?
I'm in Congress. I'm in Valley Cottage.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I used to live in Congress.
That's a nice area.
Where else have you lived?
I used to live in Congress.
Okay.
Well, that's good.
My dad was born in Congress.
Nice. Congress is beautiful. What do you
a
have,
comedy
Kyle?
Club up there, if I remember.
Okay.
Oh, stop it, Peter.
Right, what do you have?
What I want to talk about, I'm glad, Hal Steinbrenner, I'm glad, he's getting Gary Sanchez back because he was in the slump. And if you remember, 10 years, Brett Gardner, he was in the slump, too, and he started hitting. So hopefully next year, Gary Sanchez will hit again.
Colleen, Kyle, I love you.
Yes.
I love Congress. This is a 3-year slump.
Yeah, this is quite the slump. I'm in a slump, too. Otherwise, I'd be playing.
I think I have numbers for Kyle. I think I do. I mean, that's not a slump. I mean, he's hit under 200 the last 3 years. That's a slide.
I have some stats here, one called Babylon. Batted at B-alon. And what that means is, for someone, if you were to take the numbers in the 100s and compare it to the old-timey days, he would have been like someone who batted around 202. Really.
Yeah, I got a stat. It's called Fantasyland.
Yeah.
That tells you that, that it's all going to come together.
I've got to find this for Kyle, who used to live in Congress.
Yeah, that's got to be a drop.
It'll be interesting to see how that plays as a drop. It was.
I think it's
going to
play very well.
All right, here we go. Batting average, 186 in 2018. Then he soared to 232 in 2019, and then 147 this year. That's not a slump. That's a trend.
I know batting average doesn't mean what it used to, and it's not what they look at. But when you're batting under .150, Michael, then how productive can you be the 15% of the time you make contact? All right? So if half of those times you're hitting home runs, I'm sorry, I need somebody better that's going to I'm going to let him get up 500 times during the course of the year because there's a 7% chance he's going to hit a home run. I mean, you don't need to be a rocket scientist to realize that those numbers just don't work. Even in a home run league, Michael.
He struck out 64 times in 156 plate appearances.
All right, so
it's not what you want. An on-base percentage of .253.
But you know what, Michael? You know what they'll tell you? Oh, well, then that means that those are how many times he didn't hit into a double play. All right, but not every time was there even a double play as an option. Lift a fly ball, get a sacrifice fly, hit a grounder up the middle, drive in a run. I love how that strikeout, it's like, okay, because you didn't hit into a double play. But I got a runner at third with less than two outs, Michael. You know what? A strikeout does nothing for me.
Let's go to Carmen in Rome. Carmen.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Just wanted to touch on Sanchez quickly before I wanted to get into Aaron Boone. Sometimes less is more, okay? And I think Higashioka had proven himself. I mean, he was stable behind the plate, and he was very good in these playoff games. And he actually has a pretty decent stick. So I think not everybody needs to be a bopper in this lineup. And I think he just gives stability to Cole, obviously, and to the rest of the staff. And he was flopping around like a fish back there, stopping everything.
I just think, though, that if they get rid of Gary, they're going to bring in another catcher, and a left-handed hitting catcher, and they'll team he and Higashioka. I don't think Higashioka is going to catch 130 games next year.
I agree. Talking about Aaron Boone, you know, when callers would call in, and I'm not, you know, saying anything derogatory what you said, but when callers would call in and kind of slam Aaron Boone during the year, all we've heard was, oh, he's won 100 games 2 years in a row. He must be doing something right. You know, giving all the credit to Boone for the 100 wins. Now he's made some bad choices that everybody has seen, and we're kind of pushing it off onto the analytics and not Aaron Boone. And you're right 100% when you said that he can go by the analytics, and it's kind of relieving the second guessing from him because he can push the blame off at analytics.
But you know, he never does. He gets the blame from the fans and the media, not from his front office. He works for the front office. Well, he doesn't work for the fans.
Well, right. But even Cashman kind of threw him under the bus with saying, well, we leave the final decision to Aaron.
Right. And, but that final decision. Here's why he got credit for the 103 wins, in my opinion. Team never quit on him. He had an unbelievable amount of injuries. He made them believe in next man up. They love playing for him, and they play hard for him. That's a big part of being a manager. Sorry, it is. But what Brian's saying is technically correct. But those decisions that Aaron is making on his own are being made on the basis of statistics and trends that he has shown from the front office. Not that Aaron's being led by the nose. Aaron believes in that stuff. They're not making him do it. He doesn't need this job. He believes in this. He said that when he had the interview with them. He's in lockstep with all of it. So he'd probably make those same decisions. So I don't exactly know where you want us to come down on Aaron Boone. I've said this over and over and over again. Yeah, a manager has free will, except that if he uses that free will and it goes against the numbers, he's going to get called on the carpet. But if a manager does everything that the numbers say that he should do, you'd be a complete hypocrite and a phony if you're a front office that fires the manager. Phony!
But it is frustrating for what we do for a living and what fans do when they talk amongst each other.
Right.
Is that every time they win, it's what a great job Aaron Boone's doing, and every time they lose, well, don't blame Boone. It's a nice job to have that every time something goes wrong,
organizational decisions. Don't think like that. Fans don't give Boone credit when they win. They give it to the players. When they lose, it's all Boone's fault. So everybody's got it cockeyed. Everybody does. We don't know what goes on behind the scenes. We don't know how much of an influence the numbers are. I'm assuming, because the Yankees have such a large analytical front office, that the numbers play a large role in everything that they do. And knowing that Aaron believes in the numbers, I know they play a large role.
So let's get down to brass tacks here. What exactly is Aaron Boone's job? If he is going to follow the analytics, and if they fail, those are the numbers, those are the breaks, then what is he being paid for? Is it really just literally he handles things well in the press conference, he deals with players and what they're going through?
I think he's getting paid to be the face of the organization to explain these decisions, A. B, make the players buy into the decisions. That's the strength of the Tampa Bay Rays.
Okay.
And what the Tampa Bay Rays have that the Yankees don't have is the Tampa Bay Rays have a bunch of guys that have failed somewhere else, were disrespected, they all have chips on their shoulders, and if the analytics tell them to run through the wall, they'll run through the wall. The Yankees have stars that they're asking to adhere to the analytics. That's a very difficult thing to convince the stars this is the best thing for you. That's a big part of his job. Another big part of his job is to apply the numbers in-game, in real time. That's not easy either.
Understood, but isn't it fair to say that maybe there is some blame to Aaron Boone for not getting Hap on board?
Yeah, we've said it over and over.
Yeah.
And to go back to the numbers people and go, you know what, he's not into this. But they didn't buy that he wasn't into it, because if you listen to Brian's 5-minute answer today, he said he's been in 15 postseason games, 11 of them have been in relief. So we didn't ask him to do anything he hasn't done. He said, and we didn't ask Davey Garcia to do anything he hasn't done. We asked Davey Garcia to start. And that's exactly what he did. When we took him out, that has no impact on the way he pitched. That's why I understand more what they did. I still think they were wrong.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.